It's a well. I don't know how to tell you this. It's a hard thing, son, to tell you how the way it really is and the way the truth works. Sometimes you know it just doesn't work out the way those calendar slogans would have you do it. It just doesn't see the right thing sometimes. You know the way the world works. You know it just doesn't come off right. I told you, you remember last Friday about the hen up in Maine that lays the empty eggs. Well, now that's bad enough to discover that a hen is laying empty eggs. It's a hen up in Maine, son. And, well, you see, the hen doesn't know they're empty. It's a sad fact of the case, son. Now, empty eggs look like full eggs, which makes it even more difficult, son. And you know, the saddest part of it all is that a hen will set on an empty egg almost twice as long as a full egg before anything happens. And then what happens isn't exactly what the hen figured on. What actually happens is she just gets calluses. Now, they say that the creation of a callus on a hen setting on an empty egg takes roughly double the time of a hatching egg. Now, oftentimes, son, when a hen hatches out, all fitting and proper, them rotten chicks turn out to be just like the chicks of all kinds. They just run out, start pecking on their own, start yelling and hollering. The next thing you know, they're drinking down at the pool room. So you don't know which way is best sometimes. Now, of course, I have to tell you another one, son. And in some ways, this one is even sadder, son. The other day, I was looking through a sporting goods magazine. It has all the news of the wildlife everywhere. Real wildlife, son, not the kind of wildlife you find in this rambunctious, rotten city. This is a hollering and a yelling and a whooping. All these people pinching each other, giggling, belting each other in the ribs with their elbows, drinking up a snootful. Not that kind of wildlife, son. I'm talking about wildlife out there in the woods. Now, as you know, generally speaking, we men figure that we're the only ones who have been able to devise a method whereby we can actually, well, flub the dub. Man is the only animal on the face of the globe, that, as far as we know, that actually makes a mistake. Yeah, you can't say a lion makes a mistake when he gets a bad antelope now and then. He just goes right ahead. That's only man that charges himself with errors. That's why baseball's so interesting, son. You know, they put him right down in the record book. Yeah, I know how you feel. Well, I've often wondered what would happen if they had a record book on life. Charge you with errors, you know, and assists. Wonder how many of us would have a lot of points for assists, Bob, while the other guy went in and made that layup. Or he belted that long shot to the upper deck. That's because of an assist by one of us little ones here, you know. But that's another story. I'm reading in this wildlife magazine, there's a picture there of a tree been chopped down. This tree is laying flat there. The only trouble is the tree is laying flat on a beaver who chopped it down. A 40-pound beaver. Now, you'd think, son, a beaver would know how to chop down trees. You'd think that the beaver, since his whole business is chopping down trees, would know how to get out of the way of a tree after he chopped it down. Would know which way the tree's going to fall. But there's this beaver, a 40-pound beaver, laying flat, just flat out there. Colder than a mackerel. Deader than a turkey. And I got to thinking about that hen. Laying them empty eggs. And I come to a conclusion, son, it's happening everywhere. It ain't only us. It's flubbing the dub. Now cut out all that shouting and hollering. It ain't only us that are kicking empty field goals. After the whistle's blown and the game is over, they ain't only us, actually. And there's that old beaver laying there just as flat and just as dead as a turkey. Felled by his own tree. Yep. And I can only say that that beaver probably felt was a damn sight... Excuse me, I'm using it in the classical sense. It was a damn sight easier and a damn sight a longer trip for him to catch... Well, now, son, now it's no use to... Yeah, that's fine. No use to cry, son. I'll never forget your old Uncle Carl used to sit out in the back porch and cry just like you're crying now. The only thing old Uncle Carl used to accompany himself with a ukulele and once in a while a banjo when he was going out on a picnic. Now, I remember the whole crowd just like that used to join in and used to try to figure it out. You know, that's what all that singing's about, kid, you know? All that writing and all that philosophizing, they're trying to figure out how come that beaver got hit on the head by that tree. Was he a sinful beaver? Well, there's some question about that. He could very well. You don't know what that beaver was doing in his spare time when he wasn't beaving. You have no idea. A lot of us folks think that beavers do nothing but gnaw. Oh, well, if that's the case, there wouldn't be so many beavers. Well, that's just another story. I suppose it's a little too early in the evening to tell you about that. But then on the other hand, was this a beaver who was sticking to his last a little too hard? You know, they say all work and no play. Well, that's another story, too. So I can just about sit here and remember about those old days when old Uncle Carl sit on the back porch singing and hollering, looking up at the sky with the rain coming down. God's bowling balls, they used to call it. And they hear that thunder and that lightning. Yeah, it was God's bowling balls. God is bowling up there again. Hear that great big crash of thunder? And then when that rain had come down, Uncle Carl would look up there and he'd play, "Yes, sir, that's my baby." And he'd say, "Actually, what you're seeing there, those are the tears of the angels coming down. God just got himself another split." Well, that was Uncle Carl. That's the way he looked at the world. That's the way he looked at it. And maybe... he's got eyes of blue. I never cared for eyes of blue, but she's got eyes of blue. And that's my sweetness now. Rock-a-ta-ta. She's got dimpled cheeks. I never cared for dimpled cheeks, but she's got dimpled cheeks. And that's my weakness now. Bubble, 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 bubble. Oh, my. Oh, oh, me, oh, my. Rock-a-ta-ta.
I never liked to bill and coo, but she likes to bill and coo. So
and that's my weakness now. Bubble, 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 bubble. All right, gang, let's go. And that's my weakness now. Bubble, bubble, bubble. She likes to bill and coo. I never liked to bill and coo, but she likes to bill and coo. Just thought you ought to know that it's not working out. I'm sorry I had to say that. for crying out loud. I'll tell you, Bob, you're the first engineer I saw laugh since the big contract negotiations at WLW, on to 150 years ago when they really slipped it over on management. 7.5 hour lunch hour. Well, you know, I'll tell you, it all adds up in a way, I suppose. Here we are. Is this Monday? Anyone out there sure? It's Monday, huh? Crying out loud, it's always Monday. If it isn't Monday, it's Tuesday. And if it isn't Tuesday, it's Wednesday. It's all the same days keep coming back, keep unfolding like that great big deck of cards. How about a little philosophy? You want some friendly, homely philosophy tonight, huh? How about this friendly, homely philosophy? Matter of fact, a lady wrote me a letter, and she said she was being very hip, you know. And I like the hip-type shraft ladies who write, that's a very different crowd. And she wrote me from Connecticut, and she says, "You know, Mr. Shepherd, occasionally you actually make sense. But in between times, you sound like a hick from Hammond, Indiana, leaping into the air, clicking his heels together, and yelling, whoopee, wowee. All right, you are, baby.
She's got eyes of blue. I never cared for eyes of blue, but she's got eyes of blue, and that's my weakness now. She's got dimpled cheeks. I never cared for dimpled cheeks, but she's got dimpled cheeks, and that's my weakness now. Oh, my, oh, my.
Hey, I'm singing here tonight. I don't know what's the matter here. You see, it all fits the homely philosophy. You know, speaking of the home... Oh, yes, by George, speaking of home... It's funny how these things, one thing reminds one of another. WOR, that's where we are. AM and FM here in friendly old New York. Speaking of putting it over on the management. And we're here until they bring back the scores. They're out there preparing more scores. I don't know. There can't be that many games being played all the time, is there? Really? These guys, I think this is a comedy team that comes in here at 12:05. I'm seriously, you know, it seems like they're reading the same scores every night. Seton Hall is always doing something to Villanova. And Villanova's, yes, and Villanova's always coming back and doing it to Temple. Now, are there actually schools named that? Speaking of that, you know, as long as we're going to talk about the trivialities of life, I heard tonight on the scores, Bob, I don't know whether you heard this or not, somebody mentioned Stetson University doing something. Yeah, Stetson. And I'll give a brass figligee with bronze oak leaf palm to anyone who can tell me where Stetson University is, John B. Stetson University. I'm going to have to confess something that will probably surprise the daylights out of half of you. It's in a place almost as equally hidden from the public view as Medicine Hat. Actually, it's more so. You're wrong, Carl. And, you know, I'm going to have to confess something very awful. There was one two-month, wildly delirious, insanely unbelievable period in my life that I spent at John B. Stetson University.
Oh, a shape feels good. Rick-a-tick-a-tick-tick-tick. Rick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick. She got eyes of blue. Rick-a-tick-a-tick-tick-tick-tick. But she likes the Millen Coo. So that's my weakness now. Rick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick. Rick-a-tick-a-tick. Hold it. Now, all of you fun fans out there, all of you students of human nature, all of you good, loyal, 100% Americans, I have here from an advertisement clipped from a national publication. Already in there, Bob? I have here an advertisement clipped from a national publication that will appeal to every one of you fun fans. Every one of you true blue, 100% red, white, and blue Americans. You Americans who love, more than anything else, a good, solid time. Woo-hoo, fun. The heading on the advertisement reads, "Blow up your entire neighborhood." With authentic war surplus grenades, bombs, mines. Get rid of friends, relatives, neighbors, and all undesirables quickly and easily. Among other fun-packed items are these U.S. Army dummy rifle grenades. These 11 inches tall, non-glare black steel beauties did plenty of damage when they were alive.
Naturally, they're now harmless, but no one else but you will know it. Great feel. Real heft. Loads of fun practicing hitting enemy targets. A wonderful decoration for your office or den. Guaranteed to frighten all of your neighbors into closing the doors and windows when they see you. Imagine the riot at a party when you drop this baby. They'll run for the hills. Only $1.98 plus 36 cents shipping charges. Oh, but there's more. U.S. Army Dummy Mines. These exciting babies were used as booby traps all during the war, complete with fuse, but without detonators. They're really fascinating. As a trophy in a man's room, or as a conversation piece, they're unbeatable. And as a plant on a lawn, they're a real howl. Only $2.98 plus 45 cents shipping charges. Satisfaction guaranteed. Yes, laughs, laughs, laughs. U.S. Army fragmentation dummy bombs. Thousands were released over targets and by force of gravity pierced whatever lay in their path. They could penetrate armor plate and engine blocks. Nicknamed Yellow Dogs, they foreshadowed the shape of our Atlas missile. Their gray steel body with light metal fins really look awesome. Great decoration for over your door, on your roof, or on your lawn. And they're a real bargain. Three for only $1, plus 35 cents handling. Clip the coupon tonight. Money back guarantee. Rush me the items listed. I understand if I am not 100% delighted, I may return for prompt refund of full purchase price. I repeat, 100% delighted. Like I say, it ain't working out. Yeah, I just wonder whether any of you have ever seen what happens after a U.S. Army mine goes off. You ever seen one of them after they've gone off? Oh, daddy-o. Yes, they are a conversation piece. I've heard much conversation about mines at one time or another in my life. And they're not the gold or uranium variety, I'll tell you that. Well, you know, I might as well. Oh, they're telling you where John B. Stetson. Hey, quit calling in, will you? Come on, sit down now. I know where Stetson University. Now, cut it out. Do not call up. Stop it. Stop it. That was a rhetorical question. I mean, really, that was a rhetorical question. I wonder whether or not do you when the President of the United States gets up and says, "How long is this going to go on?" Do you immediately jump up and call him up and tell him? I mean, seriously, now cut it out. That was a rhetorical question, and I want you to look upon it as that. That's spelled, in case you're interested, that's spelled with R-H-E-T. 1, 2, 3, let's go. La, da, 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 da. La, da, 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 da. All right, cut it out. I don't think it's funny. It's very serious. You just can't push people around too long. I'm serious about that, and I don't like to see all of you people getting pushed around. Well, any of you out there, well, in fact, well, would all of you out there who are being pushed around raise your hands? Now, I'm talking about the good people who never push other people around, and I'm talking about the sensitive, honest people who make up the backbone of this great yeast cake of humanity. The real core, the salt of the earth. How many of you people are being crushed by a hostile society which does not understand you and does not appreciate your true individuality and worth? How many of you, seriously? How many of you are striving to establish your identity as a tiny bit of human existence, a tiny atom of humanity in this great, great, uncomprehending, terrible, crushing society which is stepping down on you with an iron heel of automation, huh? Just raise your hand, all of you who feel this way.
And by the way, while we're long as we're raising hands and being counted, how many of you feel that your old man doesn't understand you? Please raise your hand. And that your mother doesn't really love you? Please raise your hand, too, out there. And now for all of you, you parent types who feel that your kid is going to hell and who doesn't understand you either and who doesn't really appreciate their youth when they have it, would you please raise your hand, too? There, it's very good. I'm glad to see that we're at last coming to grips now with the basic problems. Now, one other question I would like to... One more thing, too. All of you people out there who have searched all of your lives, searched cleanly and openly, and with great humility, and with absolute dedication, have searched for love, and have found that modern society in this rotten, stinking America has not allowed people to truly love one another because of those rotten television shows and those ads on Madison Avenue and the terrible educational system and the fact they don't love real poets and great painters and they don't understand real talent. Those of you who have searched for love, please raise your hands and found that it is impossible to find in a civilization that is this kind of civilization. Would you please raise your hands, too? I would like to see all of you. Please raise your hands. This is your chance. No one will notice you. I will tell you this. No, we're not going to turn any names in to the Love Investigating Committee. We're not going to turn anybody's names in. We're not going to turn any names into the committee that's searching for sad, disillusioned adolescents. We're not going to turn that. No names will be turned in tonight. This is the one night you see everybody else is doing. They're picking their ears, and they're watching television, and they're drinking beer. They're at Sardi's. They're doing all kinds of terrible, that rotten society. I mean, they're all out there doing that stuff. So it's just us here together, just us. Please raise your hand, please. Now, all of you hold your hands up there and take a deep breath for one moment here and just look up here and just, I'll look down there, see. I'll look here into the mic for all of us together now. You look at the radio and I'll look out of the radio and in abject sympathy, we will clasp our hands silently with electronic friendship. And, electronic, let's say, relationship. I think that, how many of you have tried ceaselessly to relate with society and have found that society rejects a real, honest, simple love, a true love? Of course, I understand the problem. So would you please look deeply into my field coil? And I'll look out of my cathode follower here. And between the two of us, maybe we can work something out, huh? How many of you out there, on the other hand, have tried to sell out, to go over to the other side just to see how it is on the other side and have found that it was a senseless, empty, rotten life? And that at last you're somehow beginning to discover the trail, or at least the spoor of true relationship and love and beauty. And speaking of beauty, how many of you have had, over the past few years, a private vision of beauty, and you find that nobody gives a damn? And you've tried to express it to them, huh? Well, you just put your hands up, will you? All of us together here. We're all here, sitting here together, clasping hands. How many of you relate to Albie? How many of you understand, really, that you really are? How many of you, just another rhetorical question. I would like all of you out there, all of you who are Seymour Glass, raise your hands, who know you're Seymour Glass, who know that Salinger's writing about you, and who know that if you could get to Salinger, you and Salinger could really say the real things to one another because you're the only two who understand. Please raise your hands. Those of you who know that Holden Caulfield, you are one. Please raise your hands. Yes, we're all here together, aren't we? Yes. Yes. I'd just like to, another thing. I'd like to one more group out there. I'd like to have one more group. I'd like to have the group that has stripped themselves of the bourgeois sentimentalities of middle class American suburbia. It was a terrible thing coming in from Teaneck. Finally making the scene on Christopher Street. But you did it. Reborn. Coming all the way from Ashland, Wisconsin to discover true life. Oh, one more group, too. I want all of you out there who raise your hand, who feel a deep, a terribly deep affinity with the folk, the simple people who hacked out the trails to the West and who built the Union Pacific, those simple, downtrodden minorities. How many of you, just raise your hands, who know that when Joan Baez sings, she's singing about you and to you and for you and of you and out of you? Simple, honest, barefoot folk. Just raise your hand. Good. By George, I'm glad to see that things are moving. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. And now, if we may impose on you for one moment, just one moment.
She's got eyes of blue. I never cared for eyes of blue, but she's got eyes of blue, and that's my weakness now.
Now, you see what we're dealing with here? Reality. You just can't push reality around, can you, Bob? Oh, sirree, you can make a fool of almost anything, but you can't make a fool of reality. Got some blood coming there, huh? I scored there. Oh, yeah. Very sensitive person, huh? Well, I know how the sensitive people are. Very sensitive. Well, you know, I'll tell you, funny thing about sensitivity. you know, it's a funny thing about that. It's a sad, terrible fact that you just got to accept, and it's an awful rotten fact, that everybody is born with an ego. Everybody, slobs, good guys, bad guys, in-between guys, all got an ego. And the sad, awful fact of it is that every single miserable ego, bad guys, good guys, long-distance runners, guys with bad knees, short, fat guys that smoke cigars, every single one of those egos, Bob, is badly bruised. Every single last one of them. Which leads me to believe that the ego was made to be bruised. It's the only thing I can come out with. Now, of course, yours is bruised more than others. I will concede that. I will concede that you are far more sensitive than I am, all of you. That, oh no, I absolutely concede that. I will concede that all of you have much more insight than I have. And it is for that reason that I am here to play the buffoon. Oh yes, that is the role of the buffoon. Literally. And so let us buff.
Oh, cheeks, and that's my weakness now.
Oh, by the way, oh, 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 my, oh, me, oh, my. Rick-a-tick-a-tick, rick-a-tick-a-tick.
She likes to bill and coo. I never like to bill and coo, but she likes to bill and coo. So
and that's my weakness now. Okay. All right, gang. George. You know, as long as I mentioned John B. Stetson University, I might as well go all the way with it, shall I? John B. Stetson University plays a role, a very peculiar thing that happened to me. I will relate it to you. Have you ever had a moment when something happened to you that was so unbelievable that you can't even really, while you're sitting there watching it happen, you can't quite relate to it? No, really, I'm trying to say, It's as if you're watching a play, you know? And up on the stage is Laurence Olivier and Alec Guinness and Sir John Gielgud. And suddenly, as you watch the play, Olivier turns and Olivier says to you, "But old chap,
Actually, old chap, what was it you were about to say?
And you are aware that they're all looking at you. Gielgud is looking at you. Olivier is looking at you. Guinness is looking at you. Dame Sybil Thorndyke is looking at you like an asp. They're all waiting. Obviously, it is your cue. Well, then Olivier repeats, well, actually, old chap, what was that you about to say? You see, he's playing an elderly man in one of the very earliest of the plays of one of the late Renaissance poets.
Actually, man, what was it about you to say, forsooth?
And you look.
What? Well, actually, sir, old man, would you get on with it, actually? You know, it's well into the third act, you know. Actually, you know, it's almost tea time, actually. So,
and then suddenly Dame Sybil Thorndyke says,
"And as I stood upon the moors that afternoon, looking out over the long billowing seas, I knew that you would speak to me, Sir Hubert. I knew that you were about to speak. Let us have it."
A boy stood on a burning deck, a peck of apples, but the deck was burning, and the boy stood on a burning deck.
Sir Hubert, as I stood looking out over that rolling sea, over those dark ancient Scottish moors, as I walked upon the battlements of the castle, I could hear your voice echoing ghost-like in my consciousness.
It was a dark and drear day in Mudville that day. Local nine,
actually, old chap.
What? Great Scott! Suddenly,
out of the wings has come Cedric Hardwick, wearing a pair of dark glasses and a tall peaked cap.
Hold it, chap. I have it here. Your horse waits without. Your horse is out to wait without. Out there. That way, your horse. Go get your horse. Your horse, that way. Sir Hubert, your horse. Oh, yeah, my horse. And suddenly your tennis shoes are moving like shots. In you go, into the flies, looking for your horse. And then the play goes on behind you. Lump, 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 lump. Back and forth they run.
Yes, that unbelievable moment. Drawn into the maelstrom, by George. Well, let me tell you, that happened to me at John B. Stetson University. Do any of you know about John B.? First of all, John B. Stetson University is a very honored university. It really is. And, yes, it is. John B. Stetson was established by the guy that invented all those hats that you see on top of John Wayne. That's the truth. That is the truth. All those many days you've spent watching Jimmy Stewart, well, that thing that's above him there is a Stetson. And that also established a university way down there. It did. I'm telling you the truth. Oh, yeah. Well, a very strange thing happened to me at John B. Stetson University. It all came about as the result of the Army. As long as we've been... I'm in the Army, you see, and I'm in the Army, it seems like 150 years at this point. And when you're in the Army, you know, you establish a certain set of rules, like everything's rotten. That's your basic rule. And it'll never get any better. You just better not think it. Because the minute you start thinking it's going to get better, you get transferred to an even rottener outfit. Yeah, that's the truth. It just works that way. There's just no other rule. So you just become like a piece of floating plankton in the sea. You're liable to be swallowed by a whale. You're liable to be ingested by a shark. You're liable to turn into Brigitte Bardot. I mean, if evolution goes long enough. You know? You don't know. So you just float. You just wait and see. So you never know. Well, that's the truth. Well... Way early in my career. No, seriously, that happens. Way early in my career, it certainly does happen. It's a terrible thing happened. Well, that's another story. Well, it happened. Well, you don't want to get in. Now look, you're confusing the issue, and we got to get back to the plankton here. Us. I'm in the Army, you see. Way a long time ago. Well, way early in my career, I filled out a form. Yes, a form. Well, now, this was a form that promised escape. It said that if you fill out this form and if you have the proper qualifications, they will send you to the university somewhere. Of course, this is one of those insane things you keep seeing on bulletin boards, you know. And you never, nobody ever gets them. You just hear rumors of guys, these great guys that get them somewhere in the other places, somewhere in the other division, someplace way over 1,000 miles away, about this guy that got a, not only got a direct commission, he was sent to school, he became a PhD, he was brought into the Pentagon, and he was now the president's advisor, you know. Started out as a T5, you wouldn't believe it. Well, it's always in some other outfit. Well, years go by. And I'm in the rottenest outfit I ever saw in my life. They had these big machines, and they had fist fights on the hour every hour, swearing and hollering and rooting, drinking and carousing around. Oh, it was awful. Yeah, I was in that kind of an outfit. Guys would come in at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they just yank each other right out of the sack. He's like, yo, hit him with a pop bottle right on the top of the head. Throw him back. He didn't even know who it was, just somebody in the first bunk. And they just had a rotating system. Who would be nearest the door, that's all. You take your lumps one week, and you were on KP the next. Well, so, you know, that's that kind of outfit. Well, one day, out of the blue, I get called into the orderly room. And this guy, I go in there, you know, and the sergeant's sitting there. He says, the captain wants to see you. Bum. And I go into the captain. The captain says, what are you up to? What is this? And he's got a form. It's come down from 94th Army Headquarters. What is this? What kind of jazz is this? What is this? You're the best KP we ever had, and you're strength for now. What is this? My form had come through years later. I said, what? And the next thing I know, I am yanked out of this rotten place where they're serving the plastics, the hot dogs, where the guys are hitting each other on the Coke bottles. And the next thing I am, just like, boom, I am sitting in the main dining room at John B. Stetson University. Just like that, with palm trees. And there are guys with white things, white coats on, and they're serving me southern fried biscuits and French fries. Oh, and there are chicks all over. I'm in John B. Stetson. I couldn't believe it. I sat there and I just really, you know, looked around. I'm at John B. Stetson University, and I could just hear echoing in my mind, what are you doing, John, transferring out of here? You're the best KP we ever had. The best KP. Didn't we treat you good? What are you doing here? Another couple of years, you'd have made PFC. Another year and a half, you'd have made T5 in this outfit. The TO's wide open. Well, I knew it was too good to last. It was. I'm in John B. Stetson University, 2.5 weeks, living it up, hollering and screaming, when I got another call to the orderly room at John B. Stetson University. What kind of jazz is this? You're going back to 95th Army Headquarters. What is this? For crying out loud, we had processed you. You were all set to go. What kind of jazz?